Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this program is about the leaning to your own understanding, the dialectic process, what I call diaprax, simply the praxis or the practice of the dialectic process. Just some highfalutin word for what we all do as children when our parent tells us or father tells us we can't do something we want to do. We try to get him into dialogue. Dad says no, and we go, why? And it's in that dialogue we find equality. But the father doesn't go with the equality paradigm or way of thinking, and he stops that paradigm, that way of thinking, with, because I said so. And so, therefore, we cannot continue in the direction of getting our parents into this equality system, because if we persist, because I said so, is the same thing as Dad looking you in the eye and say, do you understand what I just said? The understanding is that when he gave you a command, there's accountability with that command. In other words, if you challenge his authority or you disobey his command, you're going to experience chastening. He's going to reprove you, because a patriarchal paradigm is a top-down system. And we find this from Genesis to Revelation in Scripture. In prior programs, I've gone over this over and over and over. The dialectic process is all about negating that top-down system. It is to augment the equality system. So it cannot accept the preaching and teaching of facts and truth as given. That's Dad who says, do this, don't do that. You have to accept them as given. No, it's getting Dad and everybody else into dialogue. Because in dialogue, there's equality. There's no father's authority. There's no contrition. There's no repentance. There's no salvation. There's no hope outside of human experience in dialogue. And so today we find everywhere you turn, people asking you how you feel or what you think. Now, that's a safe zone. That's a positive area for human relationship building. The negative would be, this is right and that's not. See, right and wrong is duality. But dialogue is plurality. It's two or more. Two or more as far as opinions go. So therefore, we can all ask one another how we feel, what we think, and we live in a world of flexibility, a world of change. But when you live in a world of a father's authority, there's do right, don't do wrong, and they're established for all times and all places. So the dialectics, as I've shared in prior programs, and again, I share this on my website. If you go to issues and you look at the father's love, and several of the other articles on issues, you will find an explanation of where they have to start with thesis. Because the dialectic can't start with the father as thesis, they have to start with the children as thesis. In other words, the norm that everything has to be evaluated through is the child's nature of approaching pleasure, avoiding pain. And that's where the language engendered, how do you feel, what do you think, comes from. So, having said that, and we're going to today look at some of Kurt Lewin's writings. Now, he fits into this as an editor of the Frankfurt School's paper before the Frankfurt School was a group of Marxists who came here in the 30s from Frankfurt, Germany. Their official title is Institute of Social Research. What they did was merge Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx. They are the founders of social psychology. And Marx, you know, Marx isn't new. I've read plenty of Hegel, and Marx simply built off of Hegel's works. He just didn't like Hegel's use of the word spirit, because spirit conjured some external authority who's guiding man in producing some outcome, where Marx said, no, it's just society itself. Now, what Marx meant by society was lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, literally. Sensuous needs, sense perception, sense experience, all that proceeds from nature. What proceeds from nature? Every child, in their nature, their human nature, have this natural inclination to approach pleasure and avoid pain. And what that means is it's our natural inclination to be at one with the world and in pleasure and in the moment. Now, that is described in Scripture. All that's of the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So if you're of the world, it's material, because all you've got is approach pleasure and avoid pain. And that's all tied to our nervous system, the environment that has gratifying objects or objects of pain. We avoid the pain and we approach the pleasure. So it's that Freudian, you know, stimulus response. We literally are Thorndike's chickens and Pavlov's dogs and Skinner's rats, literally, because it's all we've got. The environment stimulates the dopamine emancipation in us. The want, a gratifying object, stimulates the pleasure. The chemical our body naturally produces in correspondence to something in the environment that stimulated it. We become aware of it. We look into the environment to find out what it was so that we can acquire it. So there's the flesh, there's the eyes looking, and the pride of life is if I can control it, then I can guarantee the pleasure, the dopamine emancipation, and that's all the world has to offer. Now, when the Father comes in, he breaks that off, because you're just doing human nature, and then Dad comes in and says you can't do it. You can't do what you want to do. You have to submit your will to your Father's will. So, according to psychology, that's the source of neurosis. The Father gives you a guilty conscience. The Father, by the way, is one. See, there's one Father, one Son, only begotten Son of God. There's one Holy Spirit, one Word of God. There's no confusion. There's no two or more. It's just one. That's didactic. 2 + 2 = 4. Cannot be any other number. There's only one right answer. And so that's important to understand, because the dialectic always has to have two or more. Because when you have two or more, now you have dialogue. If you have two positions, and of course they can confront one another, one position would say, well, I'm right and you're wrong. The other person would say, well, I'm right and you're wrong. But heads, well, the dialectic comes along and says, you know, you guys have antithesis. Let's find what we have in common. Let's focus on positive. What do we both have in positive? Oh, lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Approach pleasure, avoid pain. So let's focus on that which augments pleasure and attenuates pain. And that takes us to the language of, well, I feel, and I think. And in that language, there's no Father's authority. Now, that was Kurt Lewin's agenda. His agenda with the Frankfurt School, and then he separated from them, came to the United States in 1933, was aiming to go to Stanford, but Iowa City picked him up before he was signed by them. They just missed him by a few months, but anyway, he worked on Iowa farmers and housewives back in the 30s and 40s doing group dynamics. He's a father of group dynamics. He eventually went to MIT, so you get this language, unfreezing, moving, refreezing, positive forces, negative forces, all this group dynamic language, this engineering language, is the result of his work. He died in 1947. But he had gone to Michigan University by that time. But before he died, he had already set up with Leland Bradford and Kenneth Benet and others a National Training Lab, the first one in Bethel, Maine. This was a one-week session following the same pattern that George Lukacs and Karl Korsch did, the first Marxist work week in Germany. This was back in the mid-20s, they started the Institute of Social Research with this Marx Work Week. Well, that's what the National Training Lab simply replicated. And what they were doing back in the, this would be the late 40s, early 50s, the first book that was published out of there was entitled Human Relations in Curriculum Change. I have that on, you can get on my website, authorityresearch.com, and look for that, and you can look at it. I call it a cookbook on humans. It is all the consensus process. All these articles were written in the 40s, compiled in 1950-51, and NEA was involved in Bethel, Maine at that time. NEA continued, but they sort of distanced themselves from it because these guys were more of a global. They worked with Tavistock eventually, Eric Trist and others were in, you know, they were interconnected because their whole agenda was how to commonize the world. Not traditional communism or communism, which would be simply to shoot the mine not yours patriarchal language. This is my land, not your land. This is my home, not your home. These are my children, not your children. That's very individualistic. That's top down. That's patriarch. And so your language would betray you. In the Russian Revolution, the Marxist thinkers, they knew who to shoot. They would just barge into your home, and you'd tell them, well, who are you? And they lower the gun, and you'd say, well, get out of my house. This is my house, not your house. Now they know who to shoot. And that's exactly what they did, because your language reveals your culture. A patriarchal culture is a not. You know, it's what God said. This is my garden, not your garden. Those are your trees. This is one tree you can't have. Basically, this is my tree. You know, you become, isn't that interesting, Satan? You'll become like God. See, that was okay. We can become righteous in and of ourselves. But if we become righteous in and of ourselves like God, then all we have to work with is approach pleasure and avoid pain. And so the dialectic guys, they start with that. They say, okay, now God's the repressor. You know, God's the source of neurosis. God's the source of alienation. And so if we do traditional Marxism, we just shoot the guy who comes in and acts like a father figure. Mine, not yours. Private property, whatever. The transformational Marxists, the Frankfurt School, the Institute of Social Research, whatever you want to call them, they merged Freud and Marx. Social, Freud, psychology, Marx, social psychology. And what they found was that Marx and Freud had a common foundation. Marx said, once the earthly family, in other words, that traditional father, the husband rules, the desire of the heart of the wife is to the husband, children obey their parents in the Lord. That system is God's secret. Because when Jesus came, he humbled himself as a child under a father, and only begotten son. He was sent by the father, obeyed his father in all things, which none of us have done, or can do, because Jesus was equal with the father, but he humbled himself. And he fulfilled what a perfect son would do. But he died on a cross. And in that death, he covered our sins. He took the Father's wrath upon himself, actually the chastening. Now, wrath destroys. But he took... So if you have faith in the Father, then you're redeemed from the Father's wrath. And the Father's wrath is upon the children of disobedience. Those who refuse chastisement. In other words, when they hear the Word of God, they say, you know, Dad's irrelevant because the Word of God doesn't fit with our times. You know what we need to do? We need to change it. We need to add in our Bible studies how we feel and what we think. Well, that was the language Satan brought into the garden. Eve, how do you feel? Well, I ought to be able to touch it. What do you think? Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that tree. In fact, she was right. Tree didn't kill her. So she was absolutely right. But she was wrong. Because Satan lied to her. Because the issue wasn't the tree. The issue was obedience. See, it was the paradigm that was the issue. You might say, well, there's nothing wrong with eating a cookie. It won't kill me. But Dad said he couldn't eat it. So you're not in trouble because the cookie gets you in trouble. You're in trouble because you disobeyed your father. It was a paradigm issue. And so they changed their paradigm. Well, that's what Satan came along. Every facilitator's agenda. You've heard of facilitators? The facilitator's only agenda is to role-play Satan. I'm telling you the truth. They're simply to ask you how you feel, what you think. That's all Satan did in the garden. Neurolinguistics, yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden. It's how to ask questions in a way that it engenders you to respond how you feel and what you think. That's approach pleasure, avoid pain. And that undoes the Father's command. This is right, that is not. Obey me, you're blessed. Disobey me, you're cursed. This duality, it's gone. And we see that happen in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. Adam abdicated, but every man and woman, child, everybody, we're all born as babies, and we're all born with this approach pleasure, avoid pain. We don't have any cannot, must not, thou shalt nots when we're born. That has to be inculcated to us by the parent who intercepts us becoming one with nature, one with the world, and then doing the same pattern that God did with Adam. Don't do that, and if you do, you're going to be chastened. See, that's a system of righteousness. Well, Kurt Lewin was looking at it. He said, okay, now that's a barrier. That's a barrier to normal human behavior, because normal human behavior is us wanting to be at one with the world. Equality, that's dialogue. Well, Dad wouldn't put up with dialogue. You asked him why, and he just cut you off with, because I said so. Or he looked you in the eye and says, do you understand? You know? Yeah, I understand. I better obey you, because there comes a whipping if I don't. So, it's force. Now, according to Freud, when the child strikes out, if you've ever had your child strike out, or you ever struck out at your parents, because they wouldn't let you have what you wanted as a child, that was Karl Marx. But you weren't strong at that time. And you were a little fearful. You weren't willing to die in killing your father. Because Marx said, once you realize that earthly father has given you a command and then threatens to chasten you, and that's God's pattern. Fuhrbach thesis number 4, once the earthly father or family is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly family or the holy family, the former, your father, must be annihilated. See, that top-down system has to be annihilated in theory and practice. Theory is your thoughts, your theory. Not in belief, because belief is what Dad gives you. You see, you have faith in Dad. He shares words. You believe in his word. You obey him, and you accept his chastening. But theory is your opinion. So he says, if we can get everybody in sharing our opinions, and then praxis is, opinion is personal, okay? You just share how you feel, what you think. But if everyone can come to a consensus in a room, find one common opinion we can all agree on, something that we can all say, well, we feel, or we think, and come to that consensus and put that in social action, that's praxis. So theory and practice. Now, if we put that into practice, what we've just done is negated the father. See, that's what Eve did. She did a little theory there. She was observing a tree's good. There's nothing wrong with the tree. And she put it in practice. She ate it. And in that moment, she's godless. Because she's God. There's only one God. Well, to the Marxist, well, it has to be a collective God. We're all gods. See, all the children are gods. And so here comes the father in, and he separates the children from being one. See, collective one. Marx said it's society. You know, all the little gods together that create the big God, the real God. And this is a Gnostic concept, divine sparks and all that, but they just secularize it. Can't escape that. They try everything they can. It's the only direction they can go if they reject only one God. And that's the Father who created, the God who created the world. There's just one. They have to have many. And of course, if you have many, then it's everything. We're all gods. See? And so, well, Marx didn't like this God's concept. He said it's society. So only when we all can come together in a group setting and share how we feel, what we think, and find that common unity experience, then you as an individual find your identity not in your father, but in the group, in society, in the social, in communitization, see, in the community. Now, what Kurt Lewin did was, these guys, the Frankfurt School, Kurt Lewin, J.L. Moreno, they realized, okay, if you do traditional Marxism, you're going to shoot everybody, and that's patriarchal, and you're going to shoot your infrastructure. So these guys said, okay, what we'll do instead is we will come in and facilitate in every group, because groups have crisis. There's conflicts in groups. There's conflicts in society, in the village, in the neighborhood. So what we'll do is we'll offer ourselves as mediators. We'll come in and help resolve this conflict, fixing bridges or, you know, like Katrina, hurricanes, whatever. Instead of allowing the one person who comes in and says, well, I've fixed that bridge last time. I don't know how to do it. You know, that top-down system working, and Robert's Rules of Order, which allows you to preach and teach a position, and then you all decide bottom line. No, they bring in a facilitator who gives you a three-minute time limit, so everybody gets to share how they feel, what they think, and simply changing how you do policy in that room, you change your paradigm. Now, Kurt Lund focused on this, so I'm going to explain it, with some of his quotes. And if you want to follow along, I'm going to try and post this. I've posted it already. I haven't. This is Class Notes with Kurt Lund, but I'll post it right before this program. He writes, first of all, it is usually easier to change individuals formed into a group than to change any one of them separately. Now, what he means by that is, if I approach you one-on-one, you're going to try and defend a position. But if I have you in a group, and I get the group moving, in the language, I ask the group how they feel, what they think, and you keep saying, cannot, must not, thou shalt not, you keep bring the Father's position in. Because remember, your position, from your nature, is approach, pleasure, avoid pain. Your position is ever changing to the situation. So if I can change the situation to where you feel distance, you feel left out, we're all having a good time, but you're holding to Dad and you're missing out. We're basically all going to the park and you're sitting on the porch staring at us. Now, that's going on in the meeting. So if I can get everybody in the room go, I feel and I think, and you keep saying, Dad says, like Jesus, it is written, it is written, it is written, you're going to find yourself isolated by the group. That fear of alienation, see, that's one of the most painful experiences of life, is rejection of men. And so the facilitator is trained how to use the dynamics of the group, because anytime you're in a room with a group of people, you're aware of them. You're thinking, what do they think of me? How are they going to respond to me? How do they perceive me? And so if I can get that room to turn on you, even your friends, because everyone's responding to my question, the answers are in the questions, I ask them how they feel. And remember, you asked your dad why, how do you feel? And he wouldn't participate. So you bring in your dad, you bring in your conscience, because the conscience is your father, it's one. You know, see, if you have two or more opinions in your conscience, there's no conscience with two or more. The conscience is one. So you come in with a conscience and you keep holding your position. All of a sudden you find yourself alienated. And so the only way you can be redeemed from your father is to respond to how do you feel question. How do you feel about this? What do you think? It seems sort of benign. That doesn't seem so harmful. But that language is the same language that happened in the garden in Genesis 3, 1 through 6. So it's just easier to have a group meeting with you present, and I can get the group into I feel and I think, and it's just easier for you to cave in because of the fear of rejection, the alienation of the group. You know, you're wanting the approval of men because your dad's not there to protect you. So that's what he's saying. It's usually easier to change individuals formed into a group than to change any one of them separately. Now, they might say, well, Jesus had a group, but, you know, he preached and taught. He wasn't doing this process. He didn't facilitate. He didn't ask them how they feel and what they think to come up with some common truth. He did ask Peter, you know, who do you say that I am? He asked him first, who do men say that I am? That's basically an observation of facts. But Peter's response was, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which is a position. And Jesus said, you know, Peter, this doesn't come from you. First of all, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a father-son structure. And man doesn't understand that. Because man looks for what he has in common. And so this is revealed by my Father. And this is really what Jesus is saying. I'm going to build my church on this rock. See, the koinonia, the called out ones, are built on my Father's authority. That's patriarch. See, what Jesus said, what my Father commands, that's what I do. He's told all of us, he who does my Father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. And so Peter manifested that paradigm. And Jesus' response was, hey, this is my fellowship. This is the gospel. This is the work of the gospel. Because the work of the gospel is Jesus saying, I want you to know my Father. You can't. Because children don't understand their father. But I'm equal with my Father, and my Father sent me to die for your sins. Now you're going to know my Father's love. So deny yourself, that approaching pleasure. Pick up your cross, that's avoiding pain. Don't avoid the pain. And follow me, where I take you. Put your hand to the plow. Don't look left or right. Put on the whole armor of God and stand. Don't run to pleasure and run from pain. Just stand. And in me. And endure to the end. Look forward to the joy that lies ahead. But see, that's what you're going to go through. Or your child. People say, well, I'm going to send my child into that classroom doing the group grade to be a witness. Well, the Greek word is martyrias for witness. And my role as a facilitator and as a teacher is to martyr your child. Because I want your child to put down the father's words to share how he feels and what he thinks. I want your child to do what the woman did in the garden and then become rational, because you're not rational, because there's nothing wrong with the tree. There's nothing wrong with what they wanted to do. And at that act, then, you become irrelevant, because now they have a group. See, that's their support group. And that's what Mark said. It takes society to raise the individual. It takes the village, see, not individualism. That's what you do as a parent when you treat each child individually for what they've done. See, that produces individualism. That produces a conscience before God, see. That's got to be removed. Yeah, everybody's got to be thinking about what the village will think, what the family will think, what man will think, rather than what God says. Then, continuing, Kurt Lewin wrote, the individual accepts the new system of values and beliefs, okay, the new paradigm, by accepting belongingness to the group. Now, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name. Now, he didn't say gathered in the group's name. What was the Tower of Babel? They made a name for themselves. God came in and broke it up. See, so Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name. So you come in as an individual in Christ. I come in as an individual in Christ. And Christ is in the midst thereof. We leave as individuals. It's not the group that gives us identity. It's Christ. And so when we can come, when we come together, we can reprove, correct, and rebuke. We can chasten as the Lord leads us, and we can encourage as the Lord leads us. And we worship in Him. He's going to preach and teach to us through the work of the Holy Spirit, through His Word. And then we leave edified and growing as children of God, subject to His will, not the group think. See, and that's where all the mega church growth has gone. They have said, okay, the individual, once I get you in that Bible study and you go, I feel and I think, now you're accepting belongingness to the group. You're going to change your system. No longer are you going to preach and teach the Word of God as is. You're going to rearrange it, you know, so you can feel better about yourself and be less offensive to others. And that's unfortunately what's happened to our nation. As the church goes, the nation goes. And it was all about a culture war, a paradigm shift. It's actually a paradigm change because our language changed. Our language changed from preaching and teaching the truth to dialoguing our opinions. Then Kurt Lewin wrote, a change in action ideology. They would say theory and practice. He says, a real acceptance of a changed set of facts and values. In other words, you come in with your dad's position, but now you accept somebody else's position, an opposing position. A change in a perceived social world. So you would say, well, my dad's over me, and that's your world. You're just subject to, you know, we're in the world, but not of it. See, and that's, you know, if you're in the world, it's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. If you're of the world, it's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But see, we're in it. It's around us, but we're not of it. Because in Christ, you have the mind of Christ, you're subject to the Father. But Kurt Lewin says, a change in the way you act and think, and the way you change your facts and values, because the belongingness to the group now is a new system of coming to values and beliefs. What's the new system? Through dialogue. Two or more. Dialectic process. Not looking for one to lead you and give you the truth. See, it's not in man to direct his steps. It's God the Father who directs our steps through Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit through his word. But Kurt Lewin then says those three things, a change in action ideology, a real acceptance of a changed set of facts and values, and a change in perceived social world, all three are but different expressions of the same process. What process? The dialectic process. Now, I know this is getting sort of heady here, but we'll continue on the other side of this break.